Rules for thee and not for me. Can we talk, America, about having some consistency, some integrity? That's what today's episode is going to be about. Plus, we're going to cover a couple other topics like Donald Trump's speech in Wilkes-Barre and talk about how the White House had a judge rule against it. They're going to have to give up their big tech documents. That's all coming up on today's episode. So sit back, grab yourself a cup of coffee or whatever it is that you are into. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network. Welcome, Bold Americans. Thanks for joining me back for another episode. I've been thinking about the comments from Peter Doocy. If you haven't heard this conversation yet, Peter Doocy asked Karine Jean-Pierre if that the comments that she made on her Twitter account about the 2016 election regarding Donald Trump were also considered an extremist view. And she responded immediately. So I'm going to play that for you first to start today's show. Here it is.
You tweeted Trump stole an election. You tweeted Brian Kemp stole an election. If denying election results is extreme now,
Why would let's be really clear that that comparison that you made is just ridiculous. Well, you're asking me a question. Yes. Let me answer it.
And you said ridiculous.
I was talking specifically at that time of what was happening with voting rights and the what was in danger of voting rights. That's what I was speaking to at the time.
Oopsies. You got to love her saying, oh, I was waiting for this. I knew this. The day was coming someday. You were going to call me out for saying that Donald Trump stole an election. Now, why is it okay? Rules for thee, not for me. Why is it okay for her to make these comments and now work in an administration that's stating that if people are making similar comments, that they're extremist? Why is that okay? The double standard has got to stop. And I don't think that I need to spend a ton of time on this because Karine Jean-Pierre is likely one of the largest idiots I've ever seen as a press secretary. In fact, the other day, Nord Stream 1, she called Nordstrom's. All right. You're calling it a clothing line. You should have some basic things down. For all the crap that the left tried to give Trump press secretaries, at least they had their act together. All right. At least they knew what they were speaking about before they opened their mouths. It is just embarrassing that she is still in the position that she's in. It looks like if there was like a Pinocchio nose coming out anytime that she lied, everybody would be decapitated in the briefing room. There would be no more space for them. All right. But now I said rules for thee and not for me. We're going to have some tough conversations today. America, can we talk about Donald Trump for a quick second and Hillary Clinton and her emails? Do you remember the whole lock her up chant that the Republicans had at every single one of his rallies over her emails and the servers that were held in her home, and how we said, well, God, that was wrong. This is such a crime. She should be in jail for life. How could you have these type of documents? Well, I got bad news for you. If you were like Karine Jean-Pierre stating that, you know, somebody stole an election, if you were one of those people that were calling for Hillary Clinton to be locked up, and you're not equally as angry about Donald Trump's mishandling of classified information at Mar-a-Lago, then you may also be needing to hear the whole rules for thee and not for me conversation. Because we now find out that there was material on another nation's nuclear capabilities seized at Mar-a-Lago. This is actually a large story. People are going to try to sweep this one under the carpet. But this is a highly classified operation that would just be on a completely need-to-know basis. This is beyond just top secret clearance, according to officials. These are the type of documents you don't want going down to somebody's personal residence. If anything, you want to make sure that if it is going to some type of personal residence, that it is in the top secret secure type of bunker that it cannot fall into the wrong hands. There is no difference here between what the right compared Hillary Clinton of doing to what Donald Trump has actually done. And failure to have this honest conversation really makes me question what somebody's motives may be. It is okay to call out truth when we see truth. In fact, it is one of the most loving and important things that we can do in life, is to make sure that we acknowledge truth where truth is and we are not deceitful in it. It's also the reason why difficult conversations are some of the most difficult ones to have, because no one likes conflict, right? No one likes to admit that they were wrong. No one likes to admit that they could do things differently. No one likes to hear about their faults, but we've got to address it when we hear it. This is something that is bugging me, and I had to bring up on my show. We cannot take Karine Jean-Paul the task. We cannot continue to take Hillary Clinton the task and not look at Donald Trump and the documents that he had at Mar-a-Lago. We've got to have an honest conversation about these. Now, in having this difficult conversation, I'm going to ask questions that I do not know or have any ability to have an answer to. So the first question I have, these documents that Donald Trump has in his home, is there any way, shape, or form that these have been duplicated elsewhere by agencies and that those documents would exist elsewhere where Joe Biden would still have access to them? I would believe that if something was debriefed to the president, it exists in a file somewhere that all presidents would have a future reference to it. So this is not like Hillary Clinton as far as where it's digitized as a copy, as far as I know. Again, I don't know what I don't know so far. But what I've seen in the photos, what I've heard, is these are physical paper copies, as if there was no digital resource available whatsoever in the world to our current president, that these documents have been stolen, and there is no way that anyone has the information anymore because Donald Trump removed them from everything. That is, once again, having a difficult conversation. That debunks the entire left's argument in so many ways, because then you have to believe that Donald Trump is a clear and present danger and would be capable of espionage. And I gotta be honest once again, I'm not seeing where a guy who served in office, where the FBI was investigating him over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, I'm not seeing how they would have missed the illegal doings that he had going on throughout the world. It's completely unfathomable to me. But because of rules for thee and not for me, it's time we stop the Hillary Clinton talk. I'm tired of hearing, but the emails, lock her up. And if anything, that is showing the true colors and true hypocrisy here with this new Donald Trump situation. It doesn't give people a moral credibility leg to stand on. You have no leg to stand on. In fact, you're collapsed at this point. But these documents, I'm seeing articles come out now stating that, you know, he should be convicted now as a clear and present danger. There's judges that are now stating this. You know, Donald Trump, he was going to sell these secrets off, this nuclear information. What evidence do you have that Donald Trump had intended to sell off any of this information? What evidence do you have that Donald Trump was even accessing any of this information? It didn't just go down into some type of file. And he's like, hey, you know what? When I become president again, I'm just going to take these files back. Or, hey, you know what? It just all got thrown in here. And, you know, there was no rhyme or reason to it. What evidence do we have at this point? Now, if the FBI can come out and say some of these documents are being shopped, and that's why we started investigating, which that's not the case. But if they were to say some of these documents had been shopped and we have the evidence right here, well, that's a completely other conversation that we should all be open-minded to have a conversation about. But that's not what we have. What we have is a bunch of accusations hoping that something sticks in hopes of getting rid of Donald Trump and his aspirations in 2024, which is why it's so important that people brand what happened on January 6th as an insurrection. Because if it's not branded as an insurrection, then you cannot call Donald Trump an insurrectionist, and he will not be able to be charged to be banned from being able to run for president. They need that label to stick. That is their long shot effort in order to get Trump not to be able to run again. Which is crazy talk, because if you really believe that Joe Biden is the best answer for 2024, if that is your belief, and you don't believe that Joe Biden isn't just as much as part of a crime family as what people believe that Donald Trump is, I don't know what else to tell people. The laptop from hell, as has been branded not by me, but by others, I interviewed John Paul Mac Isaac. I had him on my show. There are documents on there that tell you that Joe Biden was selling his interest as a vice president to give his son, who was a known crack, known person to be inappropriate with women. I'm not going to go as far as to say underage because I don't know what the age of the woman were on that laptop, whether or not they were of age. I don't want to know that information either. That's for somebody above my pay scale to figure out. But this philosophy that we could pick one side over another as the moral good is completely BS. It is completely devoid of critical thought and blinding of critical thought, almost like a horse with blinders on. Nay, I don't want to look at it. I don't understand why people cannot acknowledge that Joe Biden, a guy from 1973 in office, wanted to be president so bad that he lied about how he finished in law school. And he lost that election when he first ran because they found out that he was stealing material, speeches, writings, and he was lying about his credentials. He continued on until eventually Barack Obama chose him as vice president. While he was vice president, we have evidence that the FBI is willfully ignoring, and I don't understand why, all right? I, again, above my pay scale, but willfully ignoring the fact that he was using the office of vice president to put his family into a position of power and wealth to further make him money and power and wealth. I've heard all about Donald Trump's children and the same type of things. I heard all about how, you know, Ivanka Trump, what she was being put in place for, or Jared Kushner, what he was being put in place for. But do you remember what Jared Kushner actually did during his time in what he helped out? Jared Kushner helped broker peace. He helped broker peace in probably something that no one else was capable of doing with his peace plan. Now, a lot of people at the time gave him credit. So that is the good thing. But since Trump is out of office, what happened to that peace plan? Now, where does this plan stand 19 months after Jared Kushner went over and helped broker it? You know, where are we today in September of 2022? Well, Bahrain and the United Arab Emirates, followed by Morocco and Sudan, have finally stopped generation after generation of fighting, and now there is diplomacy because of his work. Now, let's parallel that with Hunter Biden. What has Hunter Biden done to bring peace to the world? If anything, he has destroyed lives with drugs, destroyed lives with abuse, destroyed lives, and he's only managed to be protected and profited off of it. So again, let's have a difficult conversation here and rules for thee and not for me. If Hunter Biden was me and I pulled half the stuff he pulled in his life, I'd still be sitting in a jail cell if any of that happened. But because his father is the president of the United States, or at the time, vice president making these deals, he didn't have much to worry about, did he? And that is why we have this hypocrisy that needs to be called out. But again, it's on both sides. If Donald Trump is guilty of any crime in having these documents down there, if they don't exist in some other format, if he was trying to sell these and that opened up a deeper investigation, then by all means, that's fine. But again, rules for thee, not for me. Let's talk again about hypocrisy. Do you remember Joe Biden said he had no idea that this investigation was going to happen at Mar-a-Lago? Well, that's not true, because in the documents that were just uncovered, we actually found out that it was Biden himself who ordered all of this. That's something that has not been brought out into the limelight much yet. But I got my eyes on the document, and there's no denying that Joe Biden lied to the American public when he said he was unaware that this was about to happen. He absolutely was aware that it was about to happen, and he willfully lied to the American public about it. But I'm not surprised. The guy's been a liar all of his life. I just made the case for why he has lied all of his life. And people love this guy here where I live in Delaware. They think he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. But I have people, it's funny, because I always have people, they're willing to tell me all these stories off the record and willing to tell me all these little secrets here and there. And everybody's afraid to speak up. And I got to be honest, I've held on the stories. I'm holding on the stories right now because you're right, I'm afraid to speak up too. I like my life. Eventually, someday, maybe I'll share a little bit more about some of the things that I know, but I need to make sure I have facts and details. And as one of my friends keeps telling me, if I have this information, don't you think the FBI, CIA, and other people have the information? So what is it going to cover, you putting some of these stories out there? And I think that they're right. At some point, you know, truth has got to stand for truth alone, and truth has got to spread, not because of the show America Emboldened with Greg Bolden, but because people believe in what is the right thing to do. I think that's very important, that people take the stand and say, hey, you know what? The right thing to do is to say what I know about what's going on in the world. Now, did you know that the White House had been meeting with big tech companies? They had been meeting with big tech companies for some time now. And in doing so, this further goes back to the whole conversation that Mark Zuckerberg had with Joe Rogan the other day, where he said that the FBI reached out and said, hey, we need to censor this story. Well, apparently, the White House has been colluding with big tech to censor viewpoints that it disagreed with regarding as misinformation. Now, anybody that has tried to share anything about COVID-19, any alternative information that might have been out there from another doctor, from another study, something that was awaiting peer review, was immediately pulled off in the early days of COVID-19. And then as we've gone through now, you see those labels come up and they get pushed down. People can even get notifications that their stories will now appear at the bottom of people's news feeds, meaning they'll just won't appear on people's news feeds. Now, the U.S. District Judge Terry Daugherty's order was given just now that the attorney Eric Schmidt of Missouri and Jeff Landry of Louisiana charged the executive branch acted in cahoots with social media giants like Facebook and Twitter to censor freedom of speech on a number of topics, including the COVID-19 pandemic and elections. Now, the statement reads, this court believes plaintiffs are entitled to external communications by John Pierre and Dr. Fauci in their capacities as White House press secretary and chief medical advisor to the president to third-party social media platforms. Now, this is the statement of what was released. I want to know, how about Jen Psaki? Aren't we going to see her communications? Why are we leaving her out? So I hope that it's not just Karine Jean-Pierre's emails. I hope that it's all press secretary emails, that if this was going on, that the American public should know that the White House has been censoring your First Amendment rights. Do you remember when people said, oh, well, these are privatized companies, they can do whatever they want to do? Yeah, well, you know what? When your federal government gets involved in censoring your First Amendment rights on these private companies, you better stand up and take notice that the Constitution is under attack. Your freedom of speech is under attack. If it's under attack by the president and the administration, we should all take pause to think about the president of the United States of America, who takes an oath to protect the Constitution, why that's not being done. We live in a really strange time in this country of things that seem like they are spinning out of control. I had a conversation a few weeks back with the Uneducated Economist, and he was talking about a lot of these issues. He was talking about this government mingling with privatized companies in order to further their agenda. And we're seeing right now a recession with the inflation that's going on. That is, his theory was, we are going to see a digital currency coming in. And in order to get everybody to take this digital currency, they were going to offer negative interest rates to get people to give up their cash. There's one thing that I know that they're not going to be able to take away, and that's precious metals. So for my listeners, I wanted to reach out and find who is a trusted source to purchase gold, to be able to purchase silver. And a few of my friends in the podcasting and entertainment world, they said, there's one person that we trust more than any other company. It's a team, it's a family-owned business and a team of about seven people. And so my listeners can now go to ourgoldguy.com to learn more about purchasing gold, to learn more about purchasing any precious metals. And so on the right-hand side, when you go there, you'll see, how did you hear about us? Just let them know that Greg Bolden sent you, all right? But there's some great articles on there in finance and the business world, the economy. So if anything, go to ourgoldguy.com just to get some new information, just to make sure that you are in the know about what's going on with our global finances. Now, we're going to be back in just a few moments. When we get back, we're going to continue the talk about our First Amendment rights. We're going to get into a few more stories here and talk about Donald Trump's speech in Wilkes-Barre. I think it's important that we cover that as well. Everyone, you're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network.
You already know Genesis plus HOCL is your best defense against viruses. But did you also know it's the most powerful weapon for eliminating airborne mold, too? Customers are raving about the Genesis Fogger's ability to tackle mold problems and the bad smells that go with them. And we all know mold is a hazard to your health. There's no airborne invader that Genesis can't handle. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
Hello, I'm Ben Marble, MD, and I founded MyFreeDoctor.com as a donation-supported, faith-based nonprofit with a mission to save lives by delivering free doctor visits to patients in all 50 states of America. MyFreeDoctor.com treats a broad range of health concerns like COVID-19, long COVID, sinus infections, urinary tract infections, rashes, medication refills, and more. So please visit MyFreeDoctor.com, where we're healing America one person at a time.
You wouldn't go a day without brushing your teeth or washing your hands. What about washing your nose? I mean, your nose does filter the air you breathe, air loaded with bacteria, viruses, and irritants. Make nasal hygiene part of your routine with Clear. No messy bottles to fill, no drowning sensation. Clear is a natural drug-free saline with the added benefit of xylitol, which blocks bacterial and viral adhesion. Available in stores and online at clear.com. That is X-L-E-A-R.com.
Now the spirit of American liberty and justice is woven into the soul of America Out Loud. Now we invite you, friends, to invest some of your time with our magnificent family of experts, their minds and voices. It's all back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, bold Americans. Before the break, we were talking about First Amendment rights, and I was getting upset because it's come out now that the White House has been colluding with big tech on what is misinformation to control the COVID-19 dialogue. And, you know, I just had an episode ago talking to Susanna Newell, who was injured by a vaccine. And why can't we hear those type of stories freely on Instagram, on Facebook? Well, it looks like that this was all being censored, but hopefully we can get to the bottom of it now that a judge has ruled that those records have to be made public. They got to be shown to these attorneys that are investigating it. This is a great win for First Amendment freedom here in the United States. Now, the White House waived its claim of privilege to the documents, so it should be able to be seen within the next 21 days. So buckle your safety belts, ladies and gentlemen. We will find out what the Department of Justice is able to provide over. So there's no executive privilege. This information will be made public. And so thank you to those who filed this on every American's behalf to make this happen. Hopefully we'll learn something about how our government has been working against us to censor millions of voices. Now let's pivot to Donald Trump's speech in Wilkes-Barre. We need to have a conversation here about how did he do in reaction after Joe Biden's speech at the Constitution Center. Well, Donald Trump was on point and on message at the beginning of the speech. He talked about how the election was going to be a referendum on the inflation, on crime, murders, and gas prices. But then he lost me when he went to the talking points that I feel like these are like the fear talking points, right? That there's millions and millions of illegal aliens pouring across our border. I'm not saying there's not illegal aliens pouring across our border. I just don't know that they're in the millions and millions. Or the other fear tactic of race and gender indoctrination perverting our schools. Again, I work in a public school, and I'm not seeing race and gender indoctrination. I'm not seeing this huge agenda. What I am seeing is people on the right, when there's like one case or two cases here or there, they're amplifying that in the news. They're making it the big story. But I'm not seeing that that is this overall huge thing. I felt that these are playing on people's fears that they have rather than dealing with facts. But then he does get back on to some facts. He talks about Joe Biden coming to Philadelphia. And he talks about how it was a divisive speech. And I believe that he's correct. He defended his base as he should. He said he vilified 75 million citizens, which was the exact point that I made in the immediate aftermath of that speech. But I thought one of the biggest points that he made, and something that I thought that I took note of, because I was going, oh, well, whoever wrote this, they really nailed it. He talked about that Philadelphia was a representation of something that was democratically run and yet had so many issues. He talked about how Philadelphia has had murder after murder and shooting after shooting, which, as someone who lives near Philadelphia, I can confirm it's in my news every single night. Philadelphia has been going to crap lately. And I say that really upset, because Philadelphia is a city that I grew up going to regularly with friends, hanging out. It's a city that I love, but it's not a city where you really want to be right now. He makes this case. 14 people were shot in Philadelphia just last weekend, right before he got there, right? And he's correct. He's absolutely correct. Philadelphia had more than 1,400 people shot already in 2022. Last year, they had 560 homicides, all right? And that was, as he pointed out accurately, it was on pace to be broken in 2022. And if we look across the country in Democrat-run cities, we see it in location after location after location, that these are the statistics, these are the facts. And if Donald Trump stayed in this lane, if he stayed in this area, he would have had a very successful speech, because the Democrats cannot argue with facts. They try to. They can try to twist. Well, actually, you know what? They can, because Karine Jean-Pierre will just say, well, that's not what that shooting meant. That's not what that murder meant. I say that in jest just because of the top of the show. But at some point, though, Donald Trump begins to lose his way in the speech. He should have stuck with the MAGA being vilified. He should have stuck with the Democrat-run cities, the issues that we're seeing. He should have stuck with inflation, gas prices, the economic part. But just as Joe Biden doesn't have anything to offer America right now, other than Donald Trump's a bad man and a MAGA right is a bad people without defining MAGA, Donald Trump starts going straight into his talking points. He starts going to what he knew would get his base fired up. And what would get his base fired up was the search of Mar-a-Lago. Not talking about the documents that were there, whether it was right, wrong, or indifferent, but instead talking about that it was the FBI and Department of Justice doing a political hit job against him. And then he declares that, Hillary Clinton had a secret illegal server. As you heard earlier in my show, pointing at Hillary Clinton while also having classified documents in your home in boxes that could have been captured by somebody else, stolen and taken, that is not a it's not a good argument to make if you're trying to win an argument. The audience then starts chanting, lock her up, lock her up. And that's what I'm trying to call to today. This whole rules for thee and not for me. If you're yelling, lock her up, the irony of this statement right now, as Donald Trump is facing a possible indictment here in the future, I don't know how else to explain to you that you may not be on the right side of history if that's the perspective you're going to come at from this. Now, he continues on into the FBI, the photo shoot, and continues on about hoaxes and scams. And here's my problem with that. If there is a hoax or a scam in the United States, then we need to see prosecutions and we need to see hard facts. But the honest to God truth is that we have not had any justifiable facts to prosecute that the election was stolen from him, that things have been done unjustly to him in the search of Mar-a-Lago. What we do see is previous cases that went nowhere. We do see a witch hunt from him, but we've got to be careful not to delegitimize our republic, not to delegitimize our voting process. And Donald Trump is on a dangerous path to doing so by not just stepping back and working towards his 2024 campaign. You know, I would call them the neocons, but I believe now he calls them the rhinos, the radical Democrats. I agree that, yeah, they've all had their hand in making this country a little less liberty-minded. The media has had their hand as well. We see interviews now where people are openly admitting that they plotted against Donald Trump in the media because they believed he was such a threat to democracy and to our country that they knew that that's what they needed to do. Well, you know what? At least they're being honest now, talking about that and putting that out in front of everybody. Now, as Trump continues his speech, he starts talking about how this is basically a fight for American values. Now, the Democrats certainly believe in American values as well. So this becomes more of what side are you on and what values are you looking to uphold? But some of the things that he starts hitting again, he starts talking about how he gave tax decreases, how that he had, lower regulations that created more jobs. He defended and protected police and the military. And let's think about it. We didn't get into any new wars during that time. We've been in a peaceful time under Trump and really Biden, too. It's been a peaceful state within our military. But he once again went back to that we have to protect our police. I'm not so sure that underneath President Biden now, over the past 2 years, that's still a talking point. But maybe that plays well to his base. He also talked about saving the Second Amendment, which is under siege, and I agree with that. I actually definitely agree with that one. But his speech kind of went on and kind of hit some points here. Talked about the billions of dollars that we're sending to Ukraine. That is a really good talking point as well, because when we talk about the deficit that we have versus taking care of America here in our own borders, the homeless, and we talk about what we could be doing for our own citizens. I do believe that we're probably putting too much money over the Ukraine. That's a point that I agree with him. He also went back on the Russia part. He started talking about Pennsylvania and the votes. And this is where he began to lose me, because this is where I said earlier, I think it's important that at some point we don't delegitimize voting. We don't delegitimize our democracy. And maybe the damage has already been done. Maybe there's no going back. The cat's out of the bag. But he continued on it for about 10 minutes. The other thing that you talked about was the Durham report. Now, I want to ask people, is Durham really an individual? Does he really exist? And I say this just because I feel like we've heard this name over and over again, and we never see photos of him. We never see videos of him. We never see him talking about the research that he's been doing. It's the same photo on the internet forever. I don't know. If anyone can educate me on him a little bit more, sometimes it's like this ghost that does this stuff. Now, I've researched. I know he's a real person, but I just wonder if that's not just used as a word. And of course, Trump went back into COVID, went back after China within it. That's not going to play outside his base at all. Continue to go into how fragile the country was becoming. And so I would like to say that part of this, part of where this fragility came from was Donald Trump. It was the constant battering of journalism. And I'm not saying that all journalism is good journalism. You've heard me talk about news media that relies on advertisers. But there is independent journalism still in this country. There is journalism that still has ethics and morals. And Donald Trump has completely undone trust in journalism and ethics. He talked about Mark Zuckerberg and how he completely kissed his rear end. And went into, rightly so, the Hunter Biden story and how they went to him and told him to stop. And I agree with him on the Russian disinformation part. I think that that's really important that he brought up. And he knows what's on that laptop. He's seen it. And there's even the people that I've spoken to that say there's Democrats that were tossing that information out recently to try to get Joe Biden not to run again. And I think that that story will still develop. Then he went into talk about the FBI again, talking about Mitch McConnell, who he said basically he should be scorned. So he's now attacking Republican leadership, continued on chastising the Republican Party, talked a little bit about the people that he wanted to get elected in Pennsylvania. And then by about the 41-minute mark, he started talking about electric vehicles, about this guy who took this trip, but it took him forever to get to D.C. because he had to keep stopping the car. And I disagree on Donald Trump with this. Like, I've driven an electric vehicle before. I've driven a Tesla before. I don't own one, but I test drove, and I actually thought it was a neat piece of machinery. I think it's something that, while it may not be for everybody, I don't think it should be mandated, but I can see why people like electric vehicles. It's not like driving a car. It's actually like driving something that's more state-of-the-art, and I really enjoyed that. So he goes off on this rampage. Then he starts talking about Merkel and his conversation with her, and that's something that I've stated before, that he was telling people, should they shut off the pipeline, it would destabilize Europe. And when he was talking at that NATO conference, he got a lot of flack for that, but he was absolutely 100% correct. So that was good to see. Then he starts about gas being $5, $6, $7. Actually, no Trump. By the time you gave this speech, it was not $7 in many places in the country. It actually has come back down pretty drastically. It's been about cut in half to where it was, but it's still too high. He talks about how, remember the gas used to be at $1.42? I don't remember that. I always remember it being around $2 a gallon when he was president. Maybe we hit like $1.98 at one point in time. But then again, I'm in the Delaware area, so I don't know. Maybe it went cheaper elsewhere in the country. From there, he went into Saudi Arabia. He talked about the 87,000 IRS agents. And if you've heard me talk, I always talk about simplifying the tax code. There's no need for 87,000 IRS agents, right? But he starts talking about them having guns, starts talking about, you know, the militarization of the IRS. And that's something that I need to learn a little bit more about to see how that's playing out in society. Then he went into inflation, and he's absolutely correct to go into inflation. We are at a horrible point, and wages are not going up. But Donald Trump owns some of that inflation, right? The COVID relief, he owns that. And I think it was today, there was a story that came out that Democrats are trying to rewrite the fact that it was Republicans that locked down the country. Actually, if you look at the cities that locked down first and were most restrictive, it was Democrat-run cities, not Republicans. So they're trying to rewrite reality. But we got to give credit where credit's due. Donald Trump was the one cutting these checks, making sure his signature was on it, in increasing our deficit in record paces by trillions of dollars. And I know you can say that this was all done to help protect us during the pandemic, but the fact remains Donald Trump was president and was a cause of the runaway inflation. He was doing great in his economy the first 2 years, even 3 years, really. It was COVID that took him out, and COVID that put us in the place where we are now. And it was Joe Biden who continued that and continued with unfettered spending bills with our Congress and our Senate. And so that's been a problem. After that, the speech is still going on. Unlike Joe Biden, who only spoke for about 25 minutes, Donald Trump went on for, I believe it was just a little over an hour in his speech, but he goes into the next part of that conversation. Where's my notes? There it is. So he goes into inflation, talks about Elizabeth Warren wanting to cancel all debt, but I've talked about that on my show already. You know where I stand on all of that. And then he continues on about the vehicles again, goes back into the Taliban. He just kind of goes all over the place until he finally gets to Nord Stream 2. So again, he's talking circular. I think he goes off script for a while there, gets into illegal aliens, gang members, the border wall, things that you just know are playing well to his base. But he also starts talking about how Joe Biden was creating these nightmares and that he was an enemy of the state. And that's where I believe that things start to turn into a speech that instead of trying, I think that's the same thing, whether it was Joe Biden or Donald Trump, both should try to be uniting people. Instead, Donald Trump really started to divide, especially in this section. He started calling the Radical Democrat Congress was turning the entire country into a dangerous place for criminal aliens, where we're protecting all criminals. Starts talking about how we can make America safe. And then from there, he goes into the death penalty for drug dealers. the death penalty for drug dealers. This absolutely blew me away. Just for the fact that if you know anything about the drug industry, let's think about drug dealers. There are some teenagers that are drug dealers because they have no other way to make money and their family has trapped them into that way of doing so. So we need to come up with better solutions in order to end gangs and drug trafficking there. And I think that that's just way too harsh to go into that. As well as for somebody who is the party of life, or claims to respect life, right? Gotta call this out. If we're respecting life, life isn't just about when it begins. Life should be about ending the death penalty as well. So I don't understand where he went during that conversation, but I think that it was a huge mistake. Went back to the police, went back onto rants, went back into really just talking about Fetterman in a way that he shouldn't have. There's no need to attack people that way, but that is Trump's brand. And continued on talking about Dr. Oz. And once again, went into just another absolute tirade for ever. And I kind of tuned out at that point. As a matter of fact, I see in my notes here that the speech went on well past an hour. In 15 minutes when I stopped. It finally stopped an hour and 52 minutes, and I did not watch all hour and 52 minutes. So I can't respond to all the entire thing. I just can respond to the notes that I gave because I kind of knew where it was going. Here's what I'm learning and where I'm going to end today, right? Rules for thee, not for me. This applies to Donald Trump. It applies to Joe Biden. It applies to our press secretary, but also applies to the common person as we're talking. If we're going to hold somebody accountable for something, right, then we need to live that in our own lives and our own hearts. We need to call that out when we see a neighbor that's not living the value that they claim to expose in somebody else. The saying, those that live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones, applies here. It's a very important thing. So whether it's Joe Biden, whether it's Donald Trump, you know, at this point, I believe that people are just blindly alleged to either party. You've heard me say it before. In some respects, we need anarchy here in the United States. We need to get rid of this one-party system that pretends to be two different parties, and we need to demand better for our country. But the thing is, we're so divided on what's called party line issues, right? We fall on single-issue voting for a party, and we fail to look at what could be good for the whole. And this is the conversation we need to have. Why are we doing that? Why are we going into a ballot box and only hitting one side? Why aren't we looking at who is best for the job? So if we can learn anything from these comments, it's that both sides are deceitful. Both sides are not being honest with integrity in talking about what they truly want. And maybe that's what I need to follow up on another show. Maybe I need to talk about what is integrity in 2022. And is that a value or should it be something else? I'm not quite sure. Anyway, thank you for listening today. I know you had plenty of different options, things you could listen to, but you chose to be right here. And I appreciate that. You've been listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network. Be bold, America. Thank you.